Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus, along today with Stephen Spruill of NationalReview.com. Jim Garrity still cruising the Caribbean on his umpteenth pina colada on the National Review cruise down there. And Steve, as always, one good martini for conservatives, one not so good, and one just truly bizarre. Let's start with the good news. And actually, Dan Foster and I talked about this yesterday, the fact that the Democrats, after getting the shellacking, because apparently that's the official word to describe the 2010 midterm elections now, they reelected essentially their very same leadership. And at the press conference following the House leadership elections, Luke Russert, actually, give him credit, asked Nancy Pelosi why her party should have reelected her when her approval rating is only at 8%. Here's her answer.
How would your ratings be if $75 million were spent against you? Because I'm an effective leader, because we got the job done on health care and Wall Street reform and consumer protections, the list goes on.
Well, she actually might be partly right, even though she doesn't realize it. It's getting kind of tired, I think, that she's still blaming the outside money. She is unpopular because of all the things she's done. She thinks she was targeted because she got those things done, but I think that's actually the reason she's unpopular.
Well, yeah, $75 million spent on ads against Nancy Pelosi, but guess what? C-SPAN is free, and that press conference was broadcast on C-SPAN and gave me, you know, eight or nine reasons to dislike her right there. I mean, start with that attitude, you know? I mean, there's absolutely no humility after such a stinging rebuke from the American public. You know, instead she and the Democrats who were flanking her at that press conference were just as arrogant as ever. And I think when you return the entire leadership team to a man, it just shows that you really haven't learned a thing. That's the lesson that I took away from that. I mean, didn't you think she seemed just, you know, completely arrogant and full of herself?
As if
they didn't suffer a single loss.
Yeah, their understanding of this, apparently, at least publicly, is that the only reason that the Democrats lost any ground is that the job market hasn't come back yet, and they bear apparently no responsibility for that. It's just that all their fantastic efforts to rescue the job market in this country just haven't fully kicked in yet, so people don't appreciate it. I guess that's their rationale, but it clearly wasn't bought by the American people.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the efforts of some of those guys who are doing, you know, bringing some really sophisticated statistical techniques to the polling data, the exit polls, have come in really handy, because even when you control for factors like unemployment, you control for factors like whether the Democrat was in a typically conservative-leaning district. I mean, look, it mattered how these guys voted on very unpopular pieces of legislation, cap and trade, health care. Look at Dan Boren in Oklahoma. He survived. You know why? Because he voted right. You know, he voted the right way for his district and for the American people when you look at the negatives on those bills. So, I mean, it's you know, yeah, the Democrats would like to pretend it's just about the economy, but I think they bear some responsibility for that. First of all, not doing anything to fix it. And second of all, you know, spending their time instead passing unpopular legislation.
No, that's clearly right. Moving on to martini number two now, and this is bad news. We saw bad news coming on this policy a long time ago, and that's the Obama administration's decision to try a lot of these terrorist suspects in civilian court. We know they're waffling on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, but Ahmed Gilani, this is a guy who was charged with 284 counts in connection with the embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania back in 1998, and he was only convicted on one of those, acquitted on 283 charges. Here's how Fox News explained why this civilian court verdict came down the way it did.
During jury selection, the judge made a ruling and said that the government's star witness, a man named Hussein Abebe, was not going to be allowed to testify. The judge ruled that the prosecution only knew about his existence because, they say, that name was learned through coercive questioning of Gilani when he was in CIA custody.
And this other suspect was going to testify that he directly gave the explosives to this Gilani, who then obviously was part of the plot in bombing these embassies. And so because of the unpopularity of waterboarding or whatever enhanced interrogation techniques involved here, that critical evidence is left out in this civilian court. And this is hopefully a wake-up call to the Obama Justice Department that these have to be done in military commissions.
Well, that's the only way that we could, you know, actually sweeten this martini and turn it into not such a bad one for conservatives is if the administration has learned its lesson by coming within a hair's breadth of actually having to make an excruciatingly tough decision. You know, if he had not been convicted on that one single count out of the 280 against him, do they set him free or do they do, you know, what obviously seems like the right decision, which is to continue to detain him until Al-Qaeda no longer poses a threat to the United States. I mean, this is the situation, the kind of decision that they were going to have to make if they hadn't, you know, gotten this one conviction. So, but, you know, unfortunately, that's not the kind of wake-up call that the administration appears to have gotten. I mean, they they're hitting the snooze button on this because they're issuing statements left and right saying, what's the big deal? He was convicted on that one count. You know, he's going to go, the sentence is a 20-year minimum sentence to life in prison. It's probably going to be closer to life because the judge, you know, can take things into account that the jury cannot. They still, kind of like with Pelosi, they still don't seem to get it, that had this one count gone the other way, you know, this guy could be walking free, even though we had mountains of evidence against him.
Yeah, if this policy doesn't change, I think it's not just a bad martini for conservatives, it's a really bad martini for America. And this verdict, as well as some other things that have happened in the past couple of years, certainly have America, I think, on the conservative side of this issue. So
bad hangover if they don't learn their lesson from this.
On to the third martini now, and we actually used an excerpt from Fox News there. That would no longer be available if Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia got his way. There was a Senate hearing on cable television packages, and for whatever reason, the senator from West Virginia went off on this tangent.
There's a little bug inside of me which wants to get the FCC to say to Fox and to MSNBC, out, off, end, goodbye. It would be a big favor to political discourse, our ability to do our work here in Congress, and to the American people to be able to talk with each other and have some faith in their government and in their, more importantly, in their future.
He's acting as though kicking both of those off the air would have equal influence. But if you look at the ratings, that's clearly not the case. And of course, I'm sure they'd be happy not to have more people understanding exactly what they're trying to pull off in Washington.
Are you sure you didn't mix the audio drops up? Because that sounded a lot like Wilford Brimley. I don't know. it sounded like he was about to tell Fox and MSNBC to get off his lawn while they were at it. You know, I don't know. Look, I mean, this seems like it's tempting to say this is just the rantings of a cranky old man. But, you know, Jay Rockefeller does still have a lot of power in the Senate. The Democrats, lest we forget, maintain control of the Senate. And so they're going to still have a lot of power over the policy process. Of course, you know, I mean, I think Rockefeller is also making an elementary mistake here. I'm not totally sure that the FCC has any jurisdiction over Fox and MSNBC since those are cable channels. But that's not to say that we shouldn't be just as vigilant during this Congress as the last one towards efforts to possibly try to bring back the Fairness Doctrine or some of these other channels for mischief that, no pun intended, channels for mischief that that the Democrats try to use to squelch speech that they don't like.
FCC doesn't regulate them yet. I think if you've looked at TSA and what Ray LaHood wants to do with our cell phones while we're driving, it may not necessarily be out of the purview of the FCC forever.
Right, absolutely. No, I'm sure that there's, you know, somewhere in some corner of the Capitol, there's a Democrat cooking up an excuse to give the FCC the power to shut up Bill O'Reilly.
Steve, three big-time martinis today. We got through them all. We'll see what happens for the rest of the week. Great to be with you as always.
Hey, my pleasure.
Steve Spruell of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Friday for the next Three Martini Lunch.